Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. How many can say that tonight? I'm going to see a victory. My God never loses a battle. And the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. We just so appreciate the song specials and the efforts of the choir here tonight. Just each and every one of you making the effort to be here and to create the atmosphere. And just, it's just wonderful. We've had three wonderful services so far, and each one is just building on the next one. And we believe that God has orchestrated it each and every step of the way, and we believe that he's the great composer, and it's his sheet music, and we're all just trying to find our cues and our parts and just be ready to play when he signals to the conductor and the conductor points at you and it's your time to go ding ding or whatever it is. Hallelujah. And we heard last night that, you know, that this is really a spade, right? And it's your job to dig. That's wonderful. You know, usually we're pointing this way, but this way, yeah. That's right. Break it out, dig. Amen. We sure did appreciate the message last night, Brother Emmanuel. It's just my Father's house. Just each message building on the next one. I told Brother Manuel, I said, you know, you just, Lord's made you in such a way that you can take words and paint a picture. Of course, it's in the scriptures, you know, that words fitly spoken are apples of gold and pictures of silver, right? But to take those words and put a picture before you, and then the picture comes alive, and there's life to it. I mean, that's what we want. We don't want a story. We want that life, right? And so when God can take these things and update them and bring them on the scene and cause our brother to have elk hunting experiences and think he's calling in an elk and then he thinks it's a man. I've had that experience before too, by the way. It was with a cow call and I thought it was a cow responding and it was the sickest sound. And I thought, that's the dumbest hunter I've ever met, you know. Turned out I was the dumbest hunter because it was a cow. But you know, he had that experience so he could preach that message last night. And it was alive, if you can receive it. And that's the God that we serve. Put you right in the story, as Mike was saying. You know, we're not spectators. We're not observing. You're right in it. Amen. So we certainly do appreciate that. And I'd mentioned last night before our brother came up, I said, you know, God makes us all different. And that wasn't meant to be a criticism. Actually, it was a compliment, right? Because not only does God, the compliment part is not only does God make us different, but he's not trying to be somebody that he isn't. Therefore, being what God made him, I just appreciate that. Because why would you want to be a second rate at best something else when you can be a first rate whatever God made you? Right? It's kind of like these ones that are, you know, like the Elvis impersonator, right? There's only one Elvis, right? Why would you want to be a second-rate Elvis when you can be a first-rate whatever God made you? Praise the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. So we had Brother Eli. If you're joining us tonight, we want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus and appreciate you coming and throwing your lick of fire into the ring. I think I suspect that some didn't realize that the service starts at 5 today instead of 7, so they'll be here at 7:15. Anyways, where's the time go? Brother Eli Ortiz, perfect unity on Wednesday night, getting things started for us, and Brother Andy Schuler on Thursday night, let the rain fall on us. I'm glad he didn't just title it, Let the Rain Fall. Because, you know, okay, so the rain fell. let it fall on us.
Amen.
Right? That's a different statement altogether, right?
Yeah.
It means you got to put your umbrella away for one thing. And then last night, my father's house. Just, we've been, these scriptures have been quoted as the ones that he read last night, even for 2,000 years now. And all of a sudden, they're coming alive.
Amen.
Right? The scripture that Jesus spoke and and the preparation, he assured us of the preparation that he made. And we heard on the other nights the preparations that we need to make. But think of all the preparation that he made just to get you here. You know, no wonder abortion is such a big thing these days. Satan's trying to keep you from getting here. But God made a great preparation just to get you here. And if he went to all that trouble to prepare this place for your arrival, and your mom and dad, as we heard last night, made all the efforts, how much more can he prepare a place, that eternal place that we're going to go to when we leave this this place that isn't even real?
Amen.
He was mentioning civilization, and chapter 4 of Genesis is when we see quote-unquote civilization coming on the scene, and people think civilization is so great, but that's what happens when you leave the garden, right? So science would say before chapter 4 they were uncivilized, right? And I'll say amen to that, but I won't agree that they were cavemen walking around with clubs and they didn't know how to behave and they were chewing on one another, and right? That came later, right? They were... they walked by faith and by revelation, and there was no need for that education, as we heard last night. So Brother Branham taught us that we're returning back to that, right? We're returning back to that state before things became civilized. And if you say that, people will think, oh, I don't want to be uncivilized. Yes, you do. You really do. Amen. You won't be ignorant, though, because you will be in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll know what you need to know, and what He will reveal to you. So, just we could go on and on. Just some wonderful, wonderful thoughts last night. If you just take them to heart, you should be encouraged. You should be comforted. Tonight we have our brother Rashan Masih, that's coming from the other side of the globe to be with us. And I just did a little look on the atlas here before the service, and he's coming from the Punjab region of India. And it turns out that where he's coming from is 31 and a half degrees north of the equator, and we're 32 degrees north of the equator. So very, very similar. He said the weather is the same, the seasons are the same, and he's even close to the same elevation as we are here. But they are 75 degrees east of the prime meridian, and we are 110 degrees west of the prime meridian. So public math is dangerous, but by my calculations, we're about 185 degrees opposite one another. So that's almost perfectly the other side of the earth, right, but at the same latitude. So he's come all this way to have a part in the services. The Lord put upon our hearts to have the ministers that are here, and God's vindicating why He chose them. And so we're in expectation tonight. And so we invite you to pull in the gift once again and expect God to speak to you. And, and if there's any question here tonight, you know, well, he knew this about me or that. How could he? He's on the other side of the globe. It's nighttime, daytime here, nighttime there, 180 degrees, about 14-hour time difference, I think. So anyway, we want to, as another fine point that was made last night, you know, we want to listen to the voice of God, right? And if Balaam, he was a gifted man and a prophet, if he would listen to the voice of God speaking through a donkey, I think we can listen to the voice of God as it speaks through a man.
Amen.
God's provided way. Amen. And just look beyond the veil I can't get away from the message last night. I'm just still, you know, suppose it was like the messages before or what have you. But Brother Manuel was talking about, made a really good illustration, talk about suicide by cop. It was during our special meetings about 5 or 6 years ago, a childhood friend of mine that had moved to Tucson, and I'd led him to the Lord, and anyway, he had been through a number of things and was kind of giving up hope, and it was during our special meetings that they called it suicide by cop. He pulled a cop, pulled a gun on a police officer, and the police officer had no... He had no choice, you know, and his training told him to pull his gun in response, and so that was that. But then he brought it into the church, and I'm glad you said it, not me, but it's still true, right? You can commit suicide by pastor or suicide by prophet, right? And there are people that'll do that. They will provoke and push to get the response they're looking for, right? And then the pastor, minister, whoever it is, has no recourse but to respond, and then they leave and say, see, I told you, and this and that and the other, but they don't realize that it's life and death, right? These are life and death issues. And if God sends you a fivefold ministry to bring you to maturity, to help you and to edify and all these things, and then you... go against that, well, how are you going to, how's he going to do it? He's not going to change his program for anybody, right? That's God's provided way. So anyway, we'll stop right there because otherwise we'll have to take up another offering. And so we're going to invite our brother to come and just take his liberty here tonight. And we certainly love our brother. We met in Israel. We were on a tour of Israel, and we had the privilege of spending our time with our brother Roshan, and we've had him with us since then, and we just appreciate his. So he's a pastor, but he's also a missionary. I was going to look up what the latest figures are, but it's over 1 billion people in his country, and he's burning it up. You know, he's going from town to town, and they're baptizing, they're spreading the message, they're translating the message into the Punjab language and also into the Hindi language, which is the kind of the main language in India. The Punjab also, the Pakistanis, there's a lot of believers that are raising up there as well, and so that's benefiting them. And so he's a real servant and a real laborer. He's getting the job done, and so we want to keep him in our prayers and you know, do whatever we can to support the burden that's on his heart to reach his country. Amen. So that the bride in that region can hear the same thing that you have the privilege of hearing. Amen. And be raptured by it. Amen. So as our brother comes tonight, I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many can say that tonight? I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. With all your heart, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, we need you, Lord. Because without you, we can do nothing. And you have promised with us that whatsoever we will ask in your name, you will do that. And your prophet has taught us that you wanted to come on the scene. And you want us to call you on the scene. So Lord, we pray that you come and you are here, Lord, already here. We thank you for your unfailing presence. And thank you for providing all our needs, Lord. And Lord, especially we want to thank you for the word, for this age that you have given us. And has anointed our eyes to see what we need to see. Lord, if there is any need, we bring before you, knowing that you are kind and merciful, and we have the promises. Lord, give your word tonight, and when your word comes, may it come in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and in power, and sanctify us through your word, Lord. We commit everything into your hands, and we have come under expectation, and you are here to do. And we pray that you have your own way, Lord. Bless us together, Lord. And we commit everything into your hand. Take the preeminence among us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. So I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I count it a great privilege to stand before the redeemed people and purchased by his blood. So it comes to my Lord to stand here, and we believe that Lord is here, and he will speak to us. So I was thinking, though you will not understand me completely, maybe 80% because of my pronunciation, but still I believe that we will get what the Lord has has for us. So may the Lord bless you. So the message I'm going to bring, there are many thoughts in my mind from the message, the Bible, and what we will do, we will lay just a foundation today, and tomorrow I am going to preach once again. So then we will get in the message tomorrow. So just keep in prayer, and Lord is with us. So that's great thing. And I appreciate the messages the brother preached. Those are wonderful messages. Yeah, and and we thank you for the Lord, yes, for those messages. So let's read Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to read two places from the Bible, from the two places. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 to 3. And another scripture is Revelation 22, 17. And we thank the message of the hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Without the message, we know that people are confused.
Right.
And they don't know what part of the word has been fulfilled and what part of the word is going to be fulfilled. So they are confused, but we thank the Lord that we have the message. And our understanding has been cleared. So Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Amen. So he's saying that we will not leave anything, but we will go further. We will move further on. Amen. That's the message. God always is on move. And Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
And before you sit, I would like to read one quote, small quote, from the message Hebrews series. But Branham said, we have no creed but Christ. No law but love. No book but the Bible.
Amen.
So you may be seated, please.
Amen.
So God bless you. So I would like to speak on the heavenly vision of God's eternal purpose. And we know that God has a plan, and there is a purpose behind that plan.
Amen.
And that's what we are going to speak. Brother Branham already spoke these things, so I'm not going to preach new things. What I'm going to preach is already been said by the prophet.
Amen.
Amen. When God created heavens, then earth, and Brother Branham said everything he created is for his own expression.
Right.
Heavens declares him.
Right.
And when he started to create things on the earth, and we know that our God is full of wisdom.
Right.
He has a plan.
Yes.
And the entire universe was created according to his plan.
Amen.
And his will.
Yep.
And his purpose. And when he started to create everything, he decided, he planned what to make first day, what to create second day, and what to create third day. He was laying a pattern.
Amen.
Amen. And he created everything in 6 days. And he chose the 6th day to create Adam. The man. Amen. And when God created Adam, though all things, all creation, rules, lion, before God created lion in the Garden of Eden, the lion was already in heaven. Because we have four living creatures there. And the lion was expression of that eternal thing. And then when God created Adam, Adam, the man, was already in heaven. It's a creature. Four creatures are there. So God, whatever God was making or creating, that all, everything was God's own expression. He was revealing himself little by little. Because we cannot understand God. He's an eternal God. And human mind cannot grasp. We cannot fathom what God is. If we give his mystery all at sudden, so we will not understand. He was giving out his mystery little by little. Through the animal life, plant life, and then there is the water. He's the water of life. Everything. And finally, God created man. And the Bible says when God created man, he was after his own likeness and in his own image. Amen. So, man was God's complete and full expression. Amen. And God has a plan and had a purpose to create Adam. And that plan and purpose is eternal purpose. Because everything God thinks is final. Is an eternal. His thoughts are eternal. Amen. And when God created universe, it was his own expression. And when Adam came, Adam was God's expression. Because when God created Adam, he was not, he did not only create Adam, but he created him in his own image and in his own likeness. So God's purpose in creating Adam or man was for man to express God and represent him. That is for man to be his expression and representation. We are God's representative. This means we were created in a way that matches him so that he can enter into us. Amen. So that's how the Bible begins. God created man, and then God started to work with man. God and man started to work together. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is absolutely right to say that the Bible is a book full of Christ. And it is also absolutely right to say the Bible is full of men. Because men and God always works together. That's God's plan. Since the beginning. Amen. So we see that even God himself became man. John chapter 1. And after his crucifixion and burial and after his resurrection, ascension to heaven, he is still a man. Because when Stephen, before they stoned him, he said that he saw the heavens opened up and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Son of Man. He's still Son of Man. Amen. So God has a plan. And according to his plan, he started his work. And he started with a man. So there is a 6,000 years of history that man and God are working together. And to work together, He needs perfect unity. As our brother Eli preached. That's what Jesus said, John 17, that as Father and I are one, so they be one with me. That's what I'm going to preach this evening, that God's purpose is to use us. But what kind of persons, what kind of people we should be, that we may be vessel in God's hand. Amen. That he can use us. So God calls those people, amen, to carry out his move, who is not settled, occupied, or filled. As brother Andy preached, God want to fill us. Yes. And if he want to fill us, we have to dig. Yes. Dig means we have to take out something. Yes. We have to empty it out ourselves. Yes. We have to make ourselves available. Yes. Empty. Yes. We must be empty vessels. Yes. That he could fill us. Yes. Amen. If we are filled with many things, God cannot use us. Amen. So that's why we need to be fresh, yes, new, yes, living, yes, unoccupied, yes, that may God may fill us, yes, with his spirit, yes, that he may his own way. Yes. But Branham said, my greatest gift is that I can get away, yes, that he can have his own way. Yes. Amen. So with a person who is settled, let us say old means he cannot move further. So if he is settled or occupied with many things, it is not easy for him to move on with the Lord. Because God is always on the move. Truth is always marching on. Never stop. So God would not call those who are settled and occupied, because whenever God calls a person, that means he has something new to do. Amen. New is for us. He has already settled everything in his mind. Amen. So he calls someone because he has a desire to turn the age. He has a desire to do something new and revolutionary. That's why Brother Branham said, like Luther and all those, they were like, he used the word militant in the church's book. He said they were militant because when God start take a person, I mean, he want to do something revolutionary. I mean, so none of us should be old. To be old means to be settled, stagnant, and occupied or filled. We need to give the Lord the way to go on in his own way. Amen. The way to go on in his progressive move through us. We must be, amen, empty. Amen. I hope that you will be a living, fresh, and new channel for the Lord to go on in his own way. Amen. So we see that even in our message circle, people are settled. They have gathered some quotes and doctrines, and they don't want to move further. And when we stop or take some doctrines, then we cannot go further with God. Because this message is not a bunch of doctrines. This message is a life.
Brother Branham said, what are those seals? What is the opening of the word? Right. He said, the quickening power has come down. Yes. To give life to the seeds. Yes. So this message is life. Yes. Christ is revealed in his own word. Yes. Mighty God has been unveiled before us. Yes. And Christ is not a doctrine. Yes. Christ is a life. Yes. And Brother Branham said, what are those seals? Christ. Amen. Christ came down. Amen. And we cannot make Christ a doctrine. Amen. So that's why this message is a life, yes, not a doctrine. And the people made this doctrine. Yes. And they separated themselves. Yes. Amen. Yes. So brother Flint and I was talking this morning. So brother said, I met someone. He is in the message also. So he asked brother, what you believe? Brother, he said, I'm in the message. I believe the prophet. So he said, that person, but what you believe? So brother said, I believe the message. So this message is life. Yes. And when we make this message a doctrine, yes, so we are settled, stagnant, yes, and we are stopped. Yes. And then God cannot use us for his progressive move. Yes. That's why I have read Revelation 22:17 that bride, amen, and the spirit. Yes. What the spirit says, amen, the bride says. Amen. Because the spirit is speaking through the bride. Amen. Bride and spirit are in perfect unity. Amen. Amen. Because the bride will be in perfect unity with the word of the hour. Amen. So this message is alive. And you cannot make doctrine. Right. Life is not doctrine. Christ is not a doctrine. Right. When we preach doctrine, yes, we are not preaching Christ. We are preaching something else. Right. When we want to bring the people in the church by doctrine, that's what happened. I'm not criticizing anything, but this is the present situation in our anti-message circles. Right. So one is proselyting. Just bring new things and new doctrine and try to convince someone that if you will believe this doctrine, you will get in the rapture. How it could be? That's what's happening in the message. But this message is Christ Jesus himself. But Brother said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. So we are missing something. I think that the greatest truth, the whole complete truth revelation, yes, is given to us. Yes. And we are the most deceived people. Because this message is a life. Yes. This message is quickening power. But we have made this doctrine. Let us take the whole message. Amen. From 47 to 65. Amen. So God, when he started his work in the book of Genesis, amen, and since he started or created the creation, so when he started his work, amen, and we know that there is a purpose behind that, what God was doing. From Genesis to Revelation, he has never stopped. Amen. Amen. The entire Bible, Brother Branham said, the entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. That's right. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. He has a plan, and with this plan, he has an aim and a goal. And whatever he is doing to achieve that goal. Yes. And we know that that goal and that purpose is in threefold. Yes. And Branham said that is threefold purpose. Amen. The great mystery, of his will is, his plan is in threefold purpose. Amen. And we know that what is that threefold purpose? We will come later. Amen. And God is working on that. That purpose. Amen. And Revelation chapter 22, 17 is the second fold. When bride and bridegroom, comes into perfect unity, then the Spirit speaks through the bride. Amen. And that's what Abraham said, I am bringing, because this is the second fold. We all are in the second fold. So this second fold, God in us, doing his work through men. Amen. This is what we need to do. But he cannot do this unless we empty out ourselves. Amen. He cannot do this until we are occupied. We are filled. We are stagnant. And we are old. And we, we have to empty out. If we are filled with doctrines and different things, how can God use us? We have to be filled with Christ himself. Amen. So in order to reach this goal, he has to go on and on. With every step of the Lord's going on, there is always something new. Amen. With people like Adam and Abel and Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, there was always a new step of the Lord's going on. Amen. And do you think that God is satisfied with the present situation of the Christianity? Let's take it personal. Do you think that God is satisfied with the present situation in the end time message churches? Do you not believe that God is waiting for a chance to do something? God is looking for some people who can cooperate with him. And God wants to bring change through them. God wants to have a transfer, to have a turn in the age. Because Branham said, he saw a vision, he said, I saw some people. Amen. They are already on the way. They are on the road. The word will be in their hand like a sword. And they will cut all the formalities. Hallelujah. They will move further. When they will speak, they will speak the word. Otherwise, they will keep mum. Amen. Amen. So the record of the Bible shows us many changes. There was a change in history with Noah. There was a change in history with Abraham, with Moses, with David, with Isaiah. And then we see that in the New Testament, a young man came by the name of John the Baptist. And he was a wild man. And Christ was introduced to the people in a wild way. So nobody will take this. He became wild because he was in the wilderness. And all those religious, nobody can point them. They follow their doctrines. They have all the CODs. They have everything. But now here comes a man, and he introduced Christ in such a way that he had his clothes is camels. With the camel skin. And according to the law, camel is unclean. Yes. So unclean. Yeah. So we have to think about it. Then there was a great change with Jesus Christ himself. So he became a man. And John, the forerunner, he introduced Jesus Christ. Amen. And when Jesus came, Lord Jesus, then the Lord proceeded to go on further in his heavenly ministry with the apostles. And after apostles, we see that throughout the history of the church, we can see how the Lord raised up men to turn the age. We have seven church ages, and during those church ages, God raised many men. Men means men and women. Amen. Persons, different persons. The Lord raised up Martin Luther during the Reformation age, and he brought mankind out of the darkness, the dark ages. And then God brought John Wesley, and there was a change with John Wesley. There was a change and transfer in the age through Martin Luther. So after one, after another, God is sending men, people. And with all those people, God is always doing something new. And God was going on. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and George Whitefield, all those people God raised, and they turned the age with their preaching. Yes. Yeah. Because God was manifesting his word through them. Yeah. Amen. 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 Because word becomes life in the people. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Doctrine cannot become life. So then many missionaries came, and God worked through them, and every time, like many missionaries, Hudson Taylor, William Carey, David Livingston, or many, many can be mentioned. But in every time, there was a new change, and there was something new with all those people. Amen. Even with Brother Branham. So this is because every piece of God's work is something new. God is always going on. So he always needs a new start with a new nature, in a new way, and for a new age. Amen. So man is so central in God's plan. That's why he needs us to carry out his plan. Amen. What was the Holy Ghost given for? But Branham said, God chose, he has given us the Holy Ghost to continue his work. Yes. Amen. So, God did not choose moon or star or sun or wind to preach the gospel. He chose us. Yes. Amen. What is the plan? What is the mystery? But Branham said, a seed is opened and a mystery is unfolded. Yes. And there is an angel of the church there. Yeah. There is a man there, and he catch that mystery. Yes. And when he catch that mystery, then he started to proclaim his message. Right. When he proclaim his message, amen, and then people who are ordained by God before the foundation of the world. Amen. And they receive that word. They receive that truth. Every time when God brings his word. And that everything is here. Amen. Everything is here in the Bible. But this is hidden. This is something man cannot touch. Because of his negligence, because of his disobedience, because of our unfaithfulness, word is hidden here. But every time God brings some people, they bring out the truth. They dig those things and bring out all the things. When those things comes, those things become the present truth.
Amen.
Like before John Wesley came, the sanctification was already in the Bible.
Amen.
Before Martin Luther came, justification was already in the Bible.
Amen.
But it was hidden. But when God raised him,
amen,
and he saw this truth, he saw the light, then he started to proclaim this message.
Amen.
When he started to proclaim this message became the present truth for that age.
Amen.
But that truth was already there. So the mystery is unfolded.
Yeah.
The angel is there. He catch that mystery. And then he started to proclaim his message. And when people receive that message, people become the voice of that age.
Yeah.
They become the message of that age.
Yeah.
Even Brother Branham is talking about D.L. Moody. He said, then along come Dwight Moody, which was a very illiterate, unlearned man. His grammar was very poor, but he was God's message for that age. And then Brother Branham says, in each age, God has a message. And Brother Branham said, we are the messenger to this age. We are the message for this age. Amen. So I hope that we would take this fellowship and tell the Lord, I want to be fully open to you, Lord,
Amen.
For your new move on this earth.
Amen.
Lord, I give myself to you.
Amen.
Come in and occupy me.
Amen.
Take and possess me.
Amen.
For your up-to-date move on this earth.
Amen.
So I was searching about present truth. So the present truth is up to date. Up to date. Something which is modern. Amen. So, we need to ask the Lord. And what move? What kind of move we are looking for? We know that we are under a prophecy. And the bride becomes the word. And the manifestation of the word, amen, is the third pull.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And if we are filled, occupied with the worldly things and many things are there, how can we will become the final voice to the final age?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. If we would pray to the Lord in this way, we will be the persons who will turn, who will transfer the age. Because God wants to do something new.
Amen.
Because we all know that God is not satisfied what is going on in the message churches.
Right.
I'm not saying that in the message.
Right.
Message is Jesus Christ.
Right.
But in the message churches. There is always something new, fresh, present tense to be worked out by God. The Holy Spirit is now working and moving in the hearts of the children of God for the carrying out of his move. And that move is the second fold. Amen. That is the second purpose. Because this is the purpose is in threefold. Amen. Spirit is saying through the bride, come and take the water of life freely. So bride will be in the perfect unity of the word for this hour. Amen. Invisible union of the bride of Christ. So God is ready. He's ready to do something, but he's waiting for some people to cooperate with him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God is waiting on me and you.
Yes.
The church is waiting on you and me.
Yes.
I'm quoting Brother Branham. Amen. So God is waiting on us. And we are occupied with many things. Many, many things. That's what we need to take out.
Yes.
Empty out ourselves.
Yes.
The situation in today's religion or today's churches cannot satisfy God. God wants to do something new. He wants to do something new in life. He wants to do something in knowing Christ, in expressing Christ, in preaching Christ, in dispensing Christ, and in expressing Christ. The doctrines, the forms, the organization, the rituals, the regulation, and even the miraculous gifts cannot satisfy God. Nor can they fulfill His purpose. These are not what God's heart's desire is. He desires that Christ Himself would be known, realized, experienced, and expressed in a full and living way. Amen. If you are occupied with the miraculous gifts or with Bible knowledge, God cannot come in to use you for His up-to-date move. We have to be, amen, fresh, new. If you are settled into a certain form, organization, or ritual, or dogma, you cannot be used by the Lord to fulfill His purpose. And His purpose is, amen, let me quote Brother Branham. Now, if we had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what is this threefold purpose. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal Himself to the people. He wanted to express His self. First of all, He wanted to express His self. That was one of His great threefold purposes, was to express Himself, identify Himself with human beings, to reveal Himself in Christ. Manifest Himself in Jesus Christ, to come into the body by Jesus Christ, to have the preeminence.
Amen.
That is the first fold. God wanted to express Himself. Amen. And God poured Himself into Christ. And in Christ, God had preeminence. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing except He sees the Father. Amen. So God had a preeminence in Jesus Christ. That is the first pool. But Branham said, what God was, He poured Himself into Christ. And what Christ was, He poured Himself into the church. That is the second fold. Amen. Christ poured Himself in the bride, His church, to have the preeminence in His body of believers, that He might live in people. That's what we are talking about. Amen. Christ in us, expressing Himself. That's what He started in the book of Genesis, when God made man. A man can be a full, complete expression of God, because man is made in His own likeness, in His own image. Amen. Animal cannot express Him completely, though they were His expression. But man matches Him. We are in His likeness, and we are in His image. Amen. So Christ poured Himself into the church, that we may represent Him.
Yes.
We are not here to represent any church.
Right.
We are not here to represent any group.
Right.
We are not here to promote any doctrine.
Right.
We are here to express and manifest Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word,
yes,
the seventh seal.
Yes.
Amen. That is God's eternal purpose. Amen. That's what God began in the book of Genesis. Yes. And we are the part. As brother said the other day, we have to play our part. Yes. I mean, without us. Yes. Amen. Yes. The plan is not completed. Yes. Without us. Amen. God is helpless, Brother Branham said. Amen. So then third, he had to become that to die in order to save and to bring himself back into the church when he became man. Third, Brother Branham said, look, but the threefold purpose of God's great mysteries revealed. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Amen. So that is the mystery that was hidden in the back part of his mind. Yes. And that mystery is the great mystery of the seventh seal. Yes. And that's in threefold. Yes. And the second fold is God in us. God in us want to take the preeminence. God in us, amen, is our head. And we are completely in his subjection. Amen. That is his purpose. That's what God wanted to achieve. That is goal. So you have to be, in order to do this, in order to become God's present move, we have to be new, empty, open, and telling the Lord that you are here. We are here. Telling the Lord that, Lord, we are here for nothing on this earth. But for yourself. Amen. So we need to tell the Lord that we are not here for religion. We are not here for any doctrine. Nor we are focused on teaching doctrines or gift. But we are here 100% for Christ himself as the living one. That's his purpose. That's why he has called us out of the denominations, out of the world, that we may express his attributes. Amen. That we may be his representatives. If you would be so fresh and new with the Lord, he would have a way to carry out his new move through you. Yes. Amen. This is why the Lord said in Luke 18:17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall by no means enter into it. A little child is not filled with anything. The little child is not occupied with the old concepts. The little child, he can easily receive a new thought. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hence, we need to receive the kingdom of God as a new thing with an unoccupied heart like a little child. Yeah. Whenever we open ourselves absolutely to the Lord, he has a way to dispense something new and fresh and real of himself, of his thought and desire into our being. Amen. May the Lord gain a group of people in these days to turn the ears for his new move. When I says turn the ears, because we believe that we are in the bright age. Amen. And we become the word for this age. But when we eat the book, we become the book. Yes. We become the word. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that when we become the Word, then we, because revelation makes us humble. Amen. And when we get the revelation, or we become the part of the Word, but Branham said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you become the Word. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Because Holy Spirit is the Word. Yes. And we come into perfect unity. Amen. So God is looking these kind of people for the bride is. Yes. To dispense Christ. Yes. To manifest Christ. Yes. To reveal Him. Amen. Yes. Through our lives. Yes. Amen. God is looking some people who could be used by the Lord in His hand to turn the age through their life and work. Because Brother Branham said this is an age of personal life. This is an age when the token is required. And token is life. Christ's life, little life, has come back in the church to keep church alive. Amen. Today is not the age of formalities. Today is not the age of religion. Today is the age of the living Christ and the living members. Amen. Not the Christ in teaching and doctrines and for some forms, but the Christ in life, the Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Yes. Amen. He said He will make a living church. Not a formal church. A glorious church. Amen. We are not merely fellowshipping with fellowshipping concerning salvation or spirituality, but we are dealing with God's eternal purpose. We need to realize that this is our golden time to be used by the Lord. Amen. Because Brother Branham said, this is the golden age. Yes. Amen. The Lord needs you as a channel. Amen. Through which He can carry out His move. Amen. He wants you to be His expression. Amen. Amen. The way for you to grasp this opportunity is to go to the Lord to open and empty yourself. You need to give yourself to Him and allow Him to take you, to possess you. Amen. Never have something within your being that is settled or occupied. Keep yourself empty, open, fresh, new, and living with the Lord. Because He is looking for empty vessels. Amen. And brothers, give us the quote. Yeah. But Branham said, that is God's strategy. Yeah. That's His strategy. This day demands that, Brother Branham said. He need empty vessels. Yeah. But we are filled with many, many things. Yeah. We are filled with doctrines and teachings. But nobody can have debate with us. We can argue with them on any subject because we are filled. We are filled with everything but very less Christ. But we need to take all these things out and fill with Christ the life. Then the Lord will be able to go on through you in a marvelous way. Amen. We all need to consecrate ourselves once again to the Lord for His eternal purpose. Amen. Because the Lord wants to recover, restore Christ Himself to be realized by us. Amen. As everything. Amen. That Christ Himself is our knowledge. Christ is our teaching, our regulation, our form, our doctrine, our gifts, our power, our weight, our riches, our everything. If you have Christ, you have everything. Amen. That's what we are missing. So whatever I'm preaching, I'm I will explain tomorrow. This is my own experience. Because I was reading the message. I was reading the message to preach. Many meetings and programs and need to go here, there, and have to prepare the message for them. Reading Bible, not for myself. Reading message every day, but not for myself. So then I found out that though I was very busy, souls coming in, and very successful meetings, people are coming, getting baptized, everything is going on, but I was empty because I was not feeding myself, but full of doctrine. And I know seals and all that, reading the message all the time, like I was addicted to reading the word, reading the message. So I was filled with all these things. And that was, but I was without, like, I was like empty. That's what I want to say. That's what the situation with many of us. But when we have Christ, we have everything. Because the Christian life is not a matter of religion, of teachings, of forms, of regulation, or of gifts, but a matter of Christ himself. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But Branham said, if you do everything, you pay tithes, you go to church, and you preach, and you do everything. And he said, and missed that life. You missed everything. This message has come to restore Christ to us. Amen. Instead, we are preaching doctrine, not Christ. And our churches, message churches, are separated in different groups because of the doctrines. This message cannot be doctrine. We believe all those doctrines. Please don't misunderstand me, because I read Hebrew chapter 6 that we will do everything. But we will also move further. Yeah. As we were talking at the breakfast this morning, Brother Flint and I, so we were talking about the message that Brother Lonnie and other brothers, they wanted to compile this message, all the major doctrines, everything, wanted to make a book to help the people. And later they found out that every time they read, something new comes up. Something new comes up. Amen. And this is the message. Yes. It cannot be stagnated. Amen. It cannot be organized. Amen. It cannot be stopped. Amen. I read Mystery of Christ is the Mystery of God revealed many times. Yes. But every time I read that book, something new comes. Yes. Because revelation is bubbling. All the times coming out, coming out, coming out. We cannot limit God. He is unlimited. He is infinite. Amen. So what we are doing in this message? We want to gather something and say that I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. The message has not come for that purpose. Because Brother Branham said, God's threefold purpose is God. Amen. That is the great mystery which was hidden in his mind. Christ wanted to have preeminence in the church. Amen. As God had preeminence in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So they, I think we can go further. Because now I want to start my message. That was just foundation. Amen. And I want to take first messenger, Paul. And we will see his life. How he was converted from doctrine to Christ. From religion to Christ. Amen. And the Bible says he was a young man, strong man. Amen. And he was very jealous of his religion, his doctrine, his teaching. And he don't want to see anything else beside what he believed. But one day, he caught a heavenly vision. Amen. And Acts 9 says that Saul was breathing, threatening, and murdered against the disciple of the Lord. That's how it is written there. Breathing. He was breathing for his religion. Breathing for his doctrine. Breathing is, I have written here, because the Holy Spirit used this word in the Bible, breathing, to express what was in that man, in Paul. So he did not merely threaten the disciples outwardly, but his persecution of the Christians was something from within him. He was breathing within him, not just outwardly. His entire being was in it. When you do something and your entire being is in it, that very thing becomes your breathing. And then Acts 26:11, Paul says, "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities." But Acts chapter 9 does not say that Saul was breathing, threatening, and murder against Jesus Christ. He says, "I was threatening, murdering, killing the disciples of Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ." Right. Amen. And he says, "But against the disciple of the Lord, against the Christians." And we see that he went to high priest and to get the authority to persecute the disciples even more. While he was on the way to Damascus, the Lord intervened. The Lord came on the scene and revealed himself to this man. As he went, he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." Although Saul was a young, strong man, the light from heaven caused him to fall to the ground. The Lord also told Saul, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." A goad is something that pricks. I believe you know about it because we in the village, so we know about the goads. like a pointed rod used to urge on an animal. By this word, the Lord let Saul know that he was the master, and that Saul was in his hand and under his yoke. When an ox is not obedient, his master will use a goad to urge him on. Many times the ox will kick against this goad. So the Lord let Saul know that he was persuading his Lord, his master, the very one who controlled him. The voice did not say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persuading my disciples, my followers, my believers?" But the voice said, "Why are you persuading me?" In Saul's realization, he was persuading the followers of Christ, the disciples. He never thought that he was doing something against Christ himself. That he was persecuting Jesus. He never thought. No doubt Saul was puzzled by the questions. "Why are you persecuting me?" Thus he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul called him Lord because the voice had its source in the heavens. Yet he must wondered how he could persecute someone in the heavens. So when he actually persecuted a person on this earth.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So the Lord answered Saul's question by saying, "I am Jesus whom you persecute."
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
On the very day that the Lord Jesus met this man, he gave Saul a clear vision that he is one with all his believers. That is the second fold. God and we, amen, are one. That all his believers are one with him. When do you touch the believers, do you touch Jesus. When you persuade them, you persuade Christ, because they are one with Christ and they are Christ. But Branham said, "We are little Christ. We are little Messiahs." Amen. Matthew 18:5. "And whosoever shall see one such little child in my name," amen, "received me." And 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Amen. If the disciple, the followers, the believers of Christ are not united with Christ as one, and they are not Christ himself, how could Christ ask Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" Amen. We are one with him. It was as if the Lord were saying to Saul, "You have to realize that I am one with my disciples. I am the head, they are the body. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, spirit of my spirit, faith of my faith." Amen. Amen. So now notice, Galatians 1:15-16. Paul says, "When it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me." Amen. These verses shows us that God did not spare us from our school, or from our job, but from our mother's womb. He has separated us. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. This means that the Lord had separated Saul even before his birth. We also were separated before our birth and called one day through his grace. Like Jeremiah, God said, "I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet." Yeah. prophet unto the nation. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Why God chosen us? Paul said, God chosen me. Amen. Before and separated me from the womb. Amen. So Christ, why? That God may reveal his son in me. So God's revealing of his son to us is in us, not outwardly, but inwardly. Christ revealed in us is the center of God's plan. That is his second fold. That Christ may be manifest through us. That may we may become full, complete expression of Christ. Yes. Amen. So God's plan is to reveal Christ into you, to make Christ life and your everything. Yes. That is the message of the hour. Yes, that's what Abraham has brought for us. Amen. At one time Saul was occupied and jealous for the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion was the best religion. The Jewish religion was something set by God himself. God himself ordained and established that religion. But that was not God's eternal plan. Amen. This man Saul was jealous for this religion. His very life was for that religion. And we saw that he was breathing out something for that religion. But suddenly the Lord intervened to reveal his son, Christ, into this active man. He was busy with outward religious activities, outward religious matters. Yet God revealed his son inwardly into him. So in Philippians 3:4-6, he says, Paul mentioned all of his attainments in the flesh, in the Jewish religion. He was a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, and he was jealous for the law of Moses and the Jewish religion. But in 3:7, he says, what things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. Because when Christ comes in us, the worldly things become dim. And Christ becomes brighter in us. Amen. This man, Saul, born into and raised in the Jewish religion. Saul was a religious person, not just by teaching or training, but by faith. Many of us were also religious people. We were born into and raised in Christianity. We were religious by faith. You may feel that it is good to be born into and raised in religion, but we have to realize that religion does not help people to fulfill, to carry out God's plan. Religion is something when the people stopped. They cannot go further. Religion is even something against God's plan. It may be good, but it is something other than Christ. It is hard for some people to really know Christ because they are so religious. They may know the doctrines, teaching forms, ritual, and regulation and COD, but they do not know the living Christ himself. So I think that's our trouble in the message circle. We know everything. I do not say we should not read the message, but we should not limit God. We should not draw a circle or line. It is possible to be involved in Christianity and yet not have Christ. You may have the forms and the regulation and yet not have Christ. I was born into Christianity in a Pentecostal denomination. I had Christianity, but I did not have Christ. I had the religious form, but I did not have Christ. I had the doctrines, Pentecostal doctrines and the teachings, but I did not have Christ. Even the church liked me because I was like a faithful person. But we know that there is no life. All those denominations, everything is dead. The life is moved forward. So we need to look at today's situation in the light of the message. Many Christians are involved in Christianity as a religion with forms and regulation and teachings and different things. They are full of doctrine, but yet they possess very little of Christ himself. As I told you, we have everything, doctrines and everything. Many people are born into Christianity and have been raised in Christianity, but they do not know Christ. Even in the message. They need the Lord to intervene in their situation. So that Christ can be revealed into them. Saul was born in Judaism, into the best religion, yet he needed a second birth. He needed to be regenerated, to be born again with the divine life. Before Saul was met by Christ on the way to Damascus, he was no doubt a brilliant, a religious, zealous, and strong young man. But when Christ intervened, this young man became weak because he fell down. He was leading a group and going to kill the people, but now somebody led him. That's what happens when we really met Christ. Because sheep are led by the shepherd. Amen. Amen. Before this, he would have considered himself marvelously knowledgeable, knowing all things concerning man and God. Now the Lord made him blind so that he could see nothing until the Lord opened his eyes. Especially his inner eyes. And then God commissioned him to open the eyes of others. Amen. So we see that Saul, when God intervened and came to Saul, he caught the vision and God told him that God and his people are one. Amen. And this was a great transfer. It was a great turning point in the life of Paul. The Saul of Tarsus became a factor to turn the age. He was transferred and turned so he could transfer this age, so he could turn the age. That's what I want to say. Before we transfer, before we turn the age, before we turn the situation, what's happening in the message circle, we have to transfer first. We have to be regenerated. Amen. But the realization of the living Christ, who is the center of God's eternal plan, but Branham said he is the principal theme of the entire Bible. He is the principal theme of our life. He is the principal theme of our worship, our services, whatever we are doing. So do not pay your attention too much to religion, to the many activities in Christianity or to your outward doings. These are things in religion, having nothing to do with God's plan. We must be fresh and open. Not be occupied with things, worldly or doctrinal and different things. What you need to do to open yourself, to offer yourself, to give yourself to the Lord, and let God work himself into you and through you to fulfill his eternal plan. Amen. 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 Many times we need to repent from many things, like Paul, like I told about myself. Paul was not a sinner. I mean, he was not drinking, adulterous. He was a religious person. He loved the Lord. And he was jealous for that. And he needed to repent from good things. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Because, like I told about myself, that I was preaching, I was going, baptizing, always busy in the mission work. Comes late night, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, then again next day going. No time for prayer. No time to spend time with the Lord. Brother Branham said, one of the messages, maybe his second coming, I said, you ministers, find some time to stay in the presence of the Lord, to talk with the Lord, because we are very busy. So I realized that I need to repent from these things. That's what happened with Paul. Because religion is something against God, against God's plan. That's what we need to do. Many good things are hindrance between us and Christ. Many. And those things are religious. Those things are like church activities. Those things are even the ministry. I was giving first preference to the ministry. And nobody can stop me from the work, day and night, going, bringing the gospel to the people. But for myself, I had no time for Christ, no time for prayer, no time to read for myself. So then something happened. I got sick. And I gone under surgery, and doctor said, you cannot go anywhere 3 months. Do not meet the people. So I was not, now what happened? Now I was not reading for the people. I was not studying to preach something. I was not preparing sermon. I was reading and studying and feeding myself. And I saw the great change. And I repented. I repented from all those religious activities. Even as I told you, I was reading the message, and sometimes I feel burdened to pray. But I give up. Don't pray. Because I wanted to read. So these are good things. But these things are other than Christ. We have to make the balance. Let us turn from a religion to a living person, Christ. And turn from the tradition to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, speaks of all that he was and had in his natural being, circumcised the 8th day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Good things. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, become blameless. But what things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. So Paul was converted from religion to Christ, not merely from sin to God. Amen. From good things, from religious things, from something, God came down on the mountain, give the commandments, amen, and established the temple, the tabernacle, amen, and give this religion, Jewish religion. So Paul was following something which was the best, even ordained and established by God. And he was so jealous in preaching that religion, and was so much busy in the activities. And those things were hindrance for him to fulfill God's eternal plan. Amen. So that's what I noticed in our message churches. We need to repent from many things. All those things which are other than Christ. We have to convert from everything which is not Christ himself. That is God's eternal plan. Amen. That is the great secret mystery that was in God's mind. Yes. That he may take preeminence in us. Yes. That we may be his complete, full expression. Yes. That we may manifest Christ. Yes. Jesus. Amen. So you may be regenerated, but maybe even today, you need a real practical conversion from the traditional things, from the religious things, unto the living Christ. Amen. Living Christ. The message is the living Christ. Amen. And we are taking this message as a bunch of doctrines. That's what we are missing. Because the real change in life transpired inwardly. So I was Pentecostal, doing all the activities. Then I came in the message. But now we say that people take from the message what they like. And then they started to make doctrine. But Branham said the bride will go in the middle of the road. They will be not too extreme that they will go this side, and they will not be too extreme, the opposite. And they will not go this side, they will walk in the middle of the road. They will take the truth from this side and from this side. Amen. They will not make any doctrine. They will not be too extreme for anything. Amen. So they will go with the up-to-date present move. Amen. Because We are not, as I told you, dealing with any doctrines or formalities, but we are dealing with living Christ. Amen. Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ is the three, God's threefold purpose. Jesus Christ himself is the threefold purpose. Amen. So when you are serving the Lord, it is easy to be tempted to pay attention to the work, the ministry, and not to pay attention to the flow of life. That's why Brother Branham said, you minister, find some time to talk with the Lord. Amen. That's what we need to do. Amen. So what happened that time when I was sick on the bed? I was converted from the work to the Lord himself. I'm still doing the work. Even I got sick because of day and night, no rest, nothing. Day and night working and in the mission field. But that time, I converted from the work, the ministry, to Christ himself. Eventually, the Lord showed me that the problem with me was that I paid much more attention to the work than to the Lord himself. I would not pray because I was reading and preparing something. So I was converted at that time, not from sin to God, but from the work to Christ himself. Before that time, the work for the Lord was my life. No one could stop me from working for the Lord. Now I still work for the Lord, but the work by itself is not preeminent to me. The most important thing is the living Lord himself. Amen. We should labor in the Lord, but our labor should not be something between us and the living Lord. It may be quite possible that there are many good things between you and the Lord. It is possible to have something in religion, some work, some program, or some activities in Christianity to take the place of Christ in your life. We need a conversion not necessarily from anything sinful or evil, but from good things, from religious things, from substitutes for Christ himself. Because that is his plan. What God was, he poured himself into Christ. And what Christ was, he poured himself. Everything, all. What God was, what Christ is, he poured himself into us. Amen? That we may be the manifestation of him in this age. Amen. So we have to turn which prevent him from occupying, filling, saturating, and possessing our entire inward being. Amen. So we need to ask ourselves what we are seeking. What things satisfy us? What is our interest? As brother said the other day here, why we come to the church? So there is one goal, one purpose. And God is working on that from Genesis to Revelation. And we are here in that purpose, in the second fold, and we have to play our part. Amen. That part is we just need to come to the Lord, empty out ourselves, and just tell him that, Lord, have your own way. We should not lean unto our own understanding. Amen. There are many things which we will continue further on tomorrow. I noticed before I close, in the denomination, And even in the message churches who are centered in doctrinal things, they are preaching. And they think that they are bringing people to Christ. Denominational and even in the message. But I notice, on the other hand, they are keeping people from Christ. They bring people to Christ up to a certain point. And then they started to inject their doctrine. Not Christ. Then they become a barrier, a limitation, a hindrance. That's what's going on. Let's present Christ. Amen. When the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men. Amen. And Son of Man is revealed in this age. Amen. Amen. Let's not take the message in our own way. Let it be as it is given to us. Amen. Amen. Give to the people. Amen. That's why when we started the churches and started to preach the things and people started to come, we realized that we need to give them the message. Yeah. Yeah. Let them read the message and God will give revelation to them. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So give them original seed. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sometime, yeah, we should read our Bible every day. And we all love the word. But sometime we have to give up to spend some time with the Lord, to pray and to talk with the Lord and to wait upon the Lord. Amen. So there are some things we need to repent from. Because when Paul caught the heavenly vision, first thing he realized that God and his people are one. And God has called me, he said, to reveal his Son in me. Here we are. To reveal him. Let's bow our heads and we pray. And we will talk a few more things tomorrow. God's intention. God's desire is to manifest Christ, to express Christ in us, through us. That is his desiring. And let us say to the Lord while our heads are bowed and we are praying and tell to the Lord, Lord, I want to stand 100% for you only. I wanted to be your manifestation for this age. I wanted to be your voice for this age. And I empty myself, and I do not want to occupy with any things, even the doctrine. I want to come before you as fresh, new, living. Fill me. And give me direction and guidance. Lord, I want to be your up-to-date move. Because you said the bride will see what the Spirit says. So there are many things which are hindering us. Those things are good. But Lord, we pray that come and fill us with yourself and take the preeminence among us, that you might be our head, head of our house, head of our life, head of our job. Whatever we do, you be the head of everything. That's what you are looking for. That's what you did in Christ. And that's what you want to do in the believer. So we commit ourselves into your hands and want to thank you for the message of the hour. Thank you for the prophet. Thank you for teaching all these things to us, Lord. And Lord, we need you, Lord. Because without you, we can do nothing. Lead us unto all the truth. And you are the truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you have done and doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We commit everything into your hands. And grant these things that your mighty name be glorified. Because we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So may the Lord bless you as I turn the service back to brothers. May the Lord bless you.